The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Raising Good Humans podcast. I'm Dr. Lisa Pressman, and I'm so excited for this one. Today's conversation is with Caitlin Murray. Have you guys followed Big Time Adulting on Instagram? That is Caitlin, and she is not only a funny, brilliant mom of three, her oldest child is a survivor of childhood cancer. And she kind of uses this platform to both have fun, give us a little levity, and also make incredibly deep, important points about this whole experience of being a mother. And I just love her. So I wanted to have her here in conversation because we love each other and it's just fun. But our conversation today is about kind of the culture war of parenting in a way where we have the pendulum feels just like it's swinging so far in one direction or the other. This, you know, there's definitely a lot that we're talking about when it comes to kind of the social media parenting and the trends in parenting and what it really is doing to parents. Is it helping? Is it even helping kids? Or is maybe all of it too much? And we're also talking about like the other side of it, of rejecting everything and how that might not be the solution. Yet again, we are kind of in the middle space, which I think is why we adore each other so much. And we're also talking about our mutual outrageous parenting moments this week, which Caitlin, bless her, does not find outrageous, whereas I was like, I did the worst thing. So I was not taking my own genuine advice when it came to me, but I am now. And we kind of went through that together on this episode. So have a listen, enjoy. It feels like we're just having coffee as friends who are just being very, very candid about our experience parenting and our kind of more realistic take on things. Okay, so there's that. And then also, oh, and Caitlin, I was on her podcast and it's so awesome, Big Time Adulting. So you can listen to that. But more importantly, she just had an episode that we refer back to. So I'm going to put it in the show notes because essentially she had a little extended conversation about this issue of feeling like everyone is obsessed with how our kids feel all the time. And what in the world is that doing and saying? Like, are we just out of hand with it? And it's a really, really, really good point and topic. So I want to hear from you. You can DM me on at Raising Good Humans podcast. Don't forget, you can get a free Substack newsletter from me if you don't want to clutter your inbox. I really try to keep it mellow. But if you do want to clutter your inbox, you can go to drlisa.substack.com for my newsletter, which also has, for a small monthly fee, I think it's like $4.99. There is a paid version where you just come on Zoom with me once a month for a parent group. What else do I have for you? I wrote a book called The Five Principles of Parenting, Your Essential Guide to Raising Good Humans. If you have not purchased said book and you want to have a book that is very much keeping it real, keeping it down to the science and not all the noise, and helping us get back to the simplicity of the parts of parenting we actually can do something about, I'm here for you. But again, I don't love that I have to sell something. So if this feels like more than is necessary, you know, turn the volume down. Don't even get it. But I think I'm pretty careful. I'm pretty careful with all of you because I am all of you. So I'm trying to imagine what I would want as well.
If you are on social media in the parenting sphere at all, you are getting this over inundation of the right way to do things and, you know, scripted parenting and try this instead of that. And it's very overwhelming. And I think it makes everybody a little bit crazy about every move that we make with our kids. And we're second guessing ourselves and our instincts all of the time. And what's the use in that? Because it just makes you kind of like going through life worried all the time or just wondering if you're ruining your kids. And the truth is, we're all ruining them a little bit. Right? Like, aren't we? Nobody's doing it all right. And if you think that you are, then you're probably really doing it wrong.
You're probably doing it extra wrong.
But that's like what makes the world go round. Everybody's different. Like everybody has a little bit of a different fucking neuroses, you know? And like, what would we do without that? Yeah. What would we talk about, Aliza?
I am hopefully careful about, but I'm sure get SNL-y.
No,
you do not. Like ridiculous. But
I will attest to the fact that you have never once annoyed me. Parenting expert.
Oh my God. Can I make that a, I am, I'm going to make that
do
a
it.
Post.
I just,
That's so exciting.
I really, because you come at your advice from a really human place and it's not like a, it's more of a thought, like here's a thought for you on this, not like a, you should be doing this and not that. And I think that's what I appreciate, that it's not preachy. It's just, it's a conversation between you and another adult that is like very much not, you know, patronizing to a parent. And I love it.
Well, I appreciate that. I love you. I just happened to listen to a podcast with, it was interviewing
was
a journalist. It was that. And my response was like tricky for me. And I wanted to talk to you about it. So I'm so excited you heard it. 70% of what was said, I couldn't agree with more. But like 30% was just bad science, like a bad interpretation of the science. And it actually was one of those moments where I kind of thought, how emblematic of the world is it that it happens? I'm very fluent in this one pimple on the tush of a topic where I know every study that is referenced and I can make my own decision about it because I have that fluency. So I can say 70% of that was great if you are aware of the 30% that was actually bordering on potentially harmful, like certain comments about mental health and certain comments about treatment, like for kids who are suffering. Like I was like, that's straight up irresponsible and inaccurate. So I also was thinking, oh my God, how much in the parenting space must be so frightening for parents who are like, how could I possibly have critical thinking about this? Of course, if this is packaged in a way that sells this idea well enough, who am I to not believe it? But like, for me, I have access to a little bit more information. So, you know, if I were listening to that same podcast, but the topic was tulips, I would be like, I guess that's true about tulips.
Well, so I will say I listened to that podcast and I had a really similar takeaway to you. And I am by no means an expert in this field, but I thought, wow, there's a lot of really solid points being made here about, you know, how we've sort of over catered to our kids and their feelings so much recently. And it's raising a group of kids who just are not resilient and can't be independent out in the world and that kind of thing. And I think there is a lot to that. Now, what I found also at the end of that podcast, I was like, this is a very extreme point of view. And that if you are looking at any topic in the world ever, you should maybe take it all with a grain of salt and be able to discern that if somebody is talking about something like a book that they've written or whatever, they might have a very extreme take on that in order to perpetuate their point and perpetuate like the idea that they're trying to get out to the world and, you know, their likeness as it pertains to that. And that's all something that you have to consider when you're seeing anybody talking about anything, really, right? Like, take it all with a grain of salt and don't forget to follow your own instincts or do what feels right for you, which is what I feel like, what I like to tell mothers, because it's something that I feel like I learned along the way just from experience, my personal experience. And it's nothing expert, nothing, you know, based on science, just based on.
And yet it is.
Thanks, I guess.
If you care, it is also, that's the reality of the science. And I think those were the two extremes.
Yeah, I think the other point you were making is like, and why would we then go back to the 1950s? Like, kids are, you know, meaningless creatures that we don't pay attention to and, you know, should be seen and not heard and all of that. And that I truly believe that anyone who's out there in the world today watching parenting accounts or listening to your podcast or another parenting podcast is already not on that page. Like, we're already too concerned with our kids to begin with, right? So I think we the people who are in those spaces are just not the people who are
self-selecting group. Yeah. I agree. That's a really good point. Like, there's no worry there that there's going to be an overemphasis on disregarding kids completely.
There's like something to be said for the fact that like maybe you or I are putting out a message to people who are paying attention, who do kind of maybe have an understanding of, you know, wanting to do the right thing in terms of parenting and how you need to be careful with what you listen to and find somebody you trust.
Find somebody you trust who doesn't annoy you and who makes you laugh. Yeah.
Well, that's such a big part of life because, like, you know, you forget and we take it all so seriously sometimes. So I think that, like, half of the stuff that I say on my Instagram is really just me coaching me, you know, like, laugh it off, Caitlin, you know?
Yes. It's like both something we need to do for ourselves. And then, like, it would not be the worst thing if our kids had, like, could see that you can laugh and not take everything as so intense. And now a quick break so I can tell you about my sponsors. You know how cute it is when you see those like mom and child PJs? It's just so cute. So Caden Lane has this Color Me pajama set for kids. And it's so soft and eco-friendly, and the fact that it's eco-friendly does not compromise how soft and durable it is. Get those bamboo pajamas. They're thicker, they're stronger lasting than any other baby or kid pajamas on the market, and they're personalized, which is just so cute. If I could still get away with matching PJs with my kids, actually I do, but we all wear women's sizes, so it's not the same thing. But the cuteness factor is such a good present for little ones. They also are very smart about rash guards, tankinis, one pieces with extra snaps and zippers to make sure that getting in and out of these outfits and diaper changes are quick and easy. And the Color Me pajama sets, I mean, talk about adorable presents. It comes with machine washable markers, so you can actually design your own. It's so personalized. It's so cute. Caden Lane is your one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel. So head to cadenlane.com/humans and use the code humans for 20% off your order. Once again, that's cadenlane.com/humans for 20% off. And don't forget to use my promo code humans so they know I sent you and you can get the big discount. It turns out that you can actually get so much cash back when you choose the right credit card. I did not really investigate credit cards before, but imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years and how much cash that is. So NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. And with NerdWallet, you're not going to regret on missing out on rewards, because NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. Just think about what you could do with all that cash back. Set it aside and just imagine yourself having a spa day or a great getaway with kids or without kids. Sorry, kids. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit card savings accounts and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. And of course, as with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms do apply. I love starting the day with breakfast, but I have not found cereal to be like a real starter at this age. That was until Magic Spoon, which has no artificial ingredients, natural flavors, zero artificial coloring. There's no other way to say this. It like really reminds me of childhood cereal. So it feels junky. But it is not, in fact. So I just think it's fun. And they have a variety pack with four flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. I'm not going to make a comparison to childhood flavors, but I'm going to tell you that fruity reminds me of a fruity cereal from days past, and it's really yummy. But it has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs per serving. So I don't know. It just feels like a win-win. Go to magicspoon.com/humans to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use the promo code humans at checkout so you can save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product that they give it a 100% happiness guarantee. I thought that was very cute wording. So if you don't like it for any reason, they refund your money and they don't ask you any questions. So no harm. Try it. It might give you that nostalgic cereal feeling while also giving you nutrients and no garbage. Try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/humans and use the code humans to save $5. You've been through so much that is intense. And I'm curious, even in those times, like I feel like laughter is critical.
Yeah. So I know you're referring to Callum's leukemia diagnosis and treatment that we were in.
Yeah, no, I realize like if people don't know you, I probably should have.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's what that my oldest child, who's now 10, was diagnosed with leukemia when he was 3 years old. And then he was in treatment for almost 3.5 years after that. And obviously that's like, you know, every parent's worst nightmare to go through that kind of a diagnosis, the scares, the fears of the unknowns of the outcomes. You know, we're definitely the lucky ones. Callum's doing really well. He's great. And thank God for that. And yeah, that was, I think, a time in my motherhood journey, if you will indulge me on that term, that I really, you know, found confidence in exactly who I was as a parent, because I knew that I had to follow my instincts on his diagnosis. I knew something was wrong. I was being told by a doctor on more than one occasion that there were no red flags. And you know your child. You just do know your child better than anyone. And it's in so many ways, like the onus is on you to not only advocate for them, but make decisions based on what you feel is right. Not somebody else, not a teacher, not a doctor, nobody. But yeah, so I did go through a lot in my like younger motherhood years. I mean, I'm still, I guess, in them. My oldest is only 10 now. But yeah, that was a definite like turning point for me as a parent. And to find ways to get through those hard times was just like, you know, reaching for humor where you could find it, because there is actually a lot of humor in darkness.
I mean, I think that's why most people who are funny,
they're all been through some kind of shit.
Yeah. That's the upside. You could always tell yourself if you're going through that.
Yeah, it's like a defense mechanism, right? Or like you, there's a resilience in being able to laugh at the things that are difficult so that you don't cry all the time.
I think it's adaptable. It's a super adaptable, beautiful human quality that you have really nailed, truly. And I don't think it's a, I think defense mechanism may sound more negative than adaptive mechanism. I realized that one of the things that I've done this week, just coincidentally, is made, I'd say I've had my worst parenting week. Like if I were to rate my parenting, like when I was in graduate school, which this is going to sound cruel, but one of the things that I was charged with was coding these videotaped interactions of mothers and children. And there was like, you would give a 1 to 4 score in these different domains, like everything that you could possibly be paranoid about as a parent. What's cool about that is that people, after a while, even when you think you're being rated, just revert to whatever their tendency is. First of all, and second of all, most parents don't do something that they actively think is not good. So if you're rating, this is like, I hope an innocuous example would be how the parent is doing a puzzle with their child. And in the rating, you can tell based on certain things that you see if that parent might be a little bit more intrusive and forceful, or if that parent might be a little laissez-faire, or if that parent might scaffold learning but not do it for the child. So it is a very pleasant thing. You're just doing a puzzle. But unfortunately, you have these like crappy little graduate students that are sitting there giving you a rating in these different dimensions. And when I think about it, like I probably did 2,000 of those. I mean, I went through a time as a young mother or mother of young children where I would in my head be scoring myself in these different dimensions and laughing because I'm like, I just got a 1 on that. It was like a terrible exercise, but it was also, it gave me a little bit more, in a way, like I was relaxed because I do know how robust these relationships are. But anyway, so then what I wanted to talk to you about this week after doing that was I would say I got a score of zero in these like big parenting crappy moments this week. And I wanted to talk about what it feels like to really feel like you blew it with your kids and how you bounce back from that.
Well, that's a good question because I actually have had some like real parenting moments myself this week. I would love to tell you about them if you want to hear.
Share. I'm way better with others.
Well, first of all, before I tell you what happened with me this week, the one thing I was like kind of thinking about or wondering about with like research and with early childhood development and stuff is like you're observing these, you know, people sort of in a controlled environment and doing, you know, a puzzle or whatever. Yeah, without like factoring in maybe like what kind of a morning they had, like what they read in the news, like anything like that, right? So, or maybe those things are factored in, like maybe their feelings were, you know, rated before they entered the room and stuff like that. Control for those things, but also just like, okay, so we look at these things like whatever, I'm assuming you're like, well, that parent is more like authoritative and that parent is more like you said, laissez-faire. But then do we really know, like in these like little experiments, then the way that that affects the child and that they've been followed through to, you know, adolescence or adulthood to see the ways that these kids actually grow up or who these kids actually grow up to be? Or are we studying them within a certain time period and not knowing? I'm sure there are longevity studies that are done.
This was a longitudinal study. So this particular study was started before I went to graduate school and is still going on now. So it's very like intensive, and you follow these parents and children. But in general, those are the exact questions to ask when anybody does talk about this. And in that particular study, I was looking very specifically at low-income families in different urban settings. So it was only generalizable to different families in low-income families in urban settings. Yeah. You know, I think what happens in research is like when people talk about studies show, they forget that it's like for kids in Nebraska who live in this one community when their parents are blah.
That's the dangerous part about citing scientific articles and studies, right? Because you're not necessarily applying it to what you're talking about right now. But so what the thing happened with me this week was yesterday. I think there are a couple of things, but this is the thing that happened yesterday. My kids came home from school and we had a babysitter. My babysitter comes on Tuesdays and Thursdays and I continue to do work or whatever it is I'm doing, hide for a little while or something in my car by myself.
We've all done that for sure.
And then I had to get involved in a situation because they come in the door and my daughter said she had to go to the bathroom. And my littlest, who's 3.5 years, her junior, sprints ahead of her and goes into the bathroom. Now, I know he's definitely pushing her buttons on purpose a little bit, but also has to go to the bathroom. He also did have a whole poop situation going on there. So my daughter is triggered by him. She's like, he's so mean to me. He's always pushing my buttons. And she's not wrong, per se, but he's 3.5 and she's 8, you know? So, and I'm like, and you're siblings. So this is life. Fucking deal with it. Sorry for the F-bomb. This is probably not an explicit.
It's your second F-bomb. So I'll just give a warning. Never had an F-bomb here, but.
Well, there's. First time for everything. And then my oldest is then like, if you had to go to the bathroom that badly, you would just go to the other bathroom. And I was like, you're right, Cal. And so she's holding it and shouting outside of the bathroom. Like, I had to go. She runs upstairs finally and go, or I tell her, go upstairs to the bathroom. God, you know? And then she's up there in the bathroom and she starts crying after she goes, but he is always so mean to me, and wailing, like really wailing, and just feels, I think, like outnumbered in this situation. And I said to her, like, I'm totally triggered when she's having these kind of like epic meltdowns, and I'm like, this is not worth this much energy. So I was like, you need to go into your room for a little while and have a moment to calm yourself down and then chill out, come back when you're ready or whatever. So she goes into her room and she is then flipping out, like banging on the floor and really like screaming and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, she sounds psychotic up there, you know? So I ran up the stairs and I opened the door and I was like, you need to get your shit together. Okay. I was like, this is not an acceptable reaction to what just happened. I said, if there's something else going on, we can talk about that. But you cannot have this kind of a reaction to something like that. Like, you need to be stronger than that. You need to be more resilient than this. This is not an acceptable way to behave after you went to the bathroom first, you know? And she calmed down, but I could see like the vitriol in her eyes and then she came downstairs eventually and we talked and, you know, I hugged her and stuff and told her she needs to like be able to bounce back. But man, I was like, I was hard on her. I was like, you need to get your shit together. And she's 8 years old. I felt like I handled her really well in that situation, but it was difficult. Like, I came down very hard on her, but at the end of it, I think she took something away from it. Like, I think it's going to be something she won't forget, that I was like, you can't let something penetrate you that deep.
Okay. So actually that was very similar to the experience that I had. And what I thought was interesting is that I had half of me was like kind of shame spiraling because of what I said to my daughter, which I can't say exactly what I said because I just haven't asked her permission if I could get into this. But needless to say, it was not dissimilar to the sense of just being like, this is like, it was bordering on shaming in the sense that I was like, this is unacceptable. I don't really care about what's going on for you right now. Yeah. Like this is like where I'm raising a human being that I want to feel a little bit like maybe this isn't okay. But the way I said it was just like, I was really, really, really nasty about it. But while part of me was mortified that I lost my shit like that, look, I'm cursing too. It's so funny.
I'm a bad example.
But there was this other part of me that was like, you know what? There is a time and a place to feel a little bit like crap about how you just moved through the world because it's not okay. And we spend a lot of time. I'm like very, very much like in general, and I know this is an annoying phrase that I say, but I do always say all feelings are welcome, all behaviors are not, because I think it's very clarifying, but it's annoying.
I like that.
And
that helps clarify for me right now.
But I think you were speaking to like, you kind of can't, like you can feel this way, but you can't turn everything into a tornado because this moment was uncomfortable for you. And I kind of had that where I was like, I was teetering on not accepting the feelings that my daughter was having. Cause I was like, I don't like that you're having those feelings and I'm actually not interested in them at all. But I think that part of me was like, we have gotten to such a point where there is no room. Like there is no room to just say, I need you to feel that guilt. I need this person to have a moral rudder that operates in such a way where they are kind of mortified by themselves in that moment. Mm-hmm. So they don't do that. And we've kind of lost permission in some way. I mean, you haven't, but that still exists. Like we are parents who are supposed to integrate our own values and moral concepts and sense of like, get your act together.
Yeah.
So I was partly mortified just because of the way I expressed it. But also I was like, you know what? It's about time. It's about time that I just lost
this.
I need it. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes that's just life. Like, I'm sorry if you don't like this. I'm sorry if this doesn't sound the right way right now. I mean, I can only imagine the pressure you must feel as like this renowned psychologist to
Well, you can imagine what the response I get from a 17-year-old because she's, you know, she's like, it feels like very.
Yeah. Yeah. Just using your weakness as ammo right against you on that. Like,
oh my God. She's like, why don't you self-regulate? And then we can have this conversation. I'm like, I don't want to self-regulate. I am very much happy and appropriately losing my mind right now. What I realized after all this is an hour later, maybe even less, my daughter came in my room and we were like sitting on the bed talking for an hour and a half, not even about what happened. And I was like, I'll be damned. I'm not full of shit. Like we have a strong enough relationship that we can just have had that downright brawl and we're fine. And also I meant it.
Yeah. That's the same thing. My daughter then eventually came down and we talked it out a bit. And then we were, you know, had our faces pushed up against each other's just to like be like, I love you.
Make an
out. And and I just want you to know you need to find another way to handle those situations.
And now a quick break so I can tell you about my sponsors. Verst is the cure to overcomplicated skincare routines. With effective, easy-to-use products and streamlined routines, Verst makes it easy for busy moms to care for their skin on their own time. I've been trying their newest products because I always make sure to use the products. And their Advanced Retinol Body Butter, I've been using it for a few weeks and I love that now I can get the amazing results that I love from retinol on my face, all over my body. I actually am kind of confused why I haven't always done this. Verst is dermatologist tested. It's cruelty-free. It's vegan. It's sensitive skin friendly. So great, great, great. But it's also the best way to get soft skin. Like, I don't know why retinol body butter was not a thing I have always known about. Verst is excited to offer Raising Good Humans listeners an exclusive 15% discount on your first order, but only for a limited time. So discover Verst at verstskin.com and at Target. That's verstskin.com/humans and use the code humans15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase. Discover Verst at verstskin.com and at Target. That's verstskin.com/humans and use the code humans15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase. Okay, I'm a probiotic person, and 80 to 90% of Americans suffer from some gut issue, whether it's gas or bloating or diarrhea or constipation or reflux. Do you want me to keep going? Is this so appealing to hear about? Anyway, according to research, 99.9% of the probiotics on the market actually die in your naturally harsh stomach because of the acids. So before they even get where they're needed, even the refrigerated ones die. So that's where Just Thrive comes in. Just Thrive has proprietary strains that have been third-party clinically tested and proven to arrive 100% alive in your gut. And it's the only brand with this patented strain of HU36, which produces antioxidants in the gut. It is shown in clinical trials to start to address your gut health in just 30 days. And it has 1,000 times better survivability versus yogurt and leading probiotics. So there's your solution. It's paleo, keto, vegetarian, and vegan friendly. And it's safe for all ages, so even kids can take it. So if you're ready to take control and live your healthiest life yet, you can get 20% off your first 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic today. Visit justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code HUMANS. And while you're there, you can check out their other clinically backed products and take control today with Just Thrive.
One of the missing pieces of like the doing it right all of the time or thinking so much about how we're doing things is that some of the qualities that are created that might be considered negative, like I'm an anxious person in a lot of ways, but I think that this was actually in that podcast too, which I was like, yes, that we were referencing earlier, but that my angst helps me be higher achieving, sometimes more competitive a little bit, maybe more like aware of myself in certain situations that have actually, and when I say competitive, I mean competitive with myself, a certain amount of pressure that I put on myself to do things a certain way, that kind of thing, that have actually, maybe there it's not a positive feeling all of the time, but has served me well in life in many senses. So sometimes the things that we think that we're ruining our kids over are actually going to help them be a little, yeah.
Their superpowers. I mean, I think so. I think anxiety is a perfect example of something that we are so terrified of. And first of all, anxiety and anxiety disorder are two very different things. Anxiety is
normal. And it's a normal, yeah, like a normal human emotion, right? Like, I just think that there's a lot of beauty in our flaws in a lot of ways, you know, it's, and like I said, sometimes it's what makes the world go round and that we don't need to always worry about doing everything according to the book or the right way every single time. Sometimes we're just messing up and that's for the best.
The best. Well, I did have that moment of, well, first of all, I know a lot of people say like, is this going to land my kid in therapy or whatever? And it's like, yeah, either way.
Who knows?
As long as you're still in a close relationship and their life is like on balance, like they're functioning humans, yeah, they're going to probably have a lot of things to say if they do go to a therapist. And they might be about you. And that's okay because we all, it's true. I mean, I have had those moments of, I mean, I think that's probably why I'm a little obsessed with resilience building. I just feel like one of the gifts like that I hope I can impart is being a whack-a-mole, a little bit of a whack-a-mole, you know?
Isn't it the best? I don't want to be like the Antichrist of parenting advice at all. Like, you know what I mean? I just feel like there's something to say it for. Also, like, I don't care about your feelings in this moment because we are late for wherever we need to be. You know that this is like the drill in the morning. This is what we do. And so if you're feeling offended by the way that I'm speaking to you right now, then good. Then maybe you'll acclimate to what's socially acceptable in this situation and do it right next time.
So when you say that you don't, by the way, that was the second content point of my blow up this week, in case we don't feel like cliches. Those were essentially like the teenage version of my two fights this week you had with your kids. So when you say, like, I don't mean to be the antichrist of the parenting advice, like, I know that there's out in the world parenting advice, but if you comb through the literature, which I don't expect anybody to do, the ironic thing is that that is the parenting advice that's rooted in the science. You're giving them a predictable expectation in the morning. You've laid it out. It happens every day. When it doesn't, you set a boundary and you have limits. And so you can tolerate the fact that they don't like it. The end. And you love each other right. And mush your faces together at some point throughout the day because you have a great relationship. Right. And so that's that. So I actually think your rejection of the parenting advice is just a rejection of the front-facing.
It's not your parenting advice. I will say that. I will say I already made that pretty clear that I really cherish your wisdom and your knowledge in the field. I think like there are trends that happen in parenting, and sometimes people on social media hop onto those trends and they latch onto them really hard, whether it be the parents or the experts who fill a space that might help them build a business around these things. And it's like, that might, maybe you're meaning to do well, but you might actually be doing a little bit more harm than good than like sort of steering parents all towards this like idea of it's, and it, I know when you like really read about gentle parenting, it's really authoritative parenting. Like it's just a new word for authoritative parenting.
Yeah, it just comes across in the misinterpretation. I mean, it's not even I don't even know what the hell gentle parenting is because you're right. It's just like the word and the expression of it out on social media makes it unclear whether it's permissive or authoritative because it depends on the person who's talking about it because it's not a real thing. It's like
it's a trend. It's like, yeah, it's like a
trend.
Yeah. In my opinion, I don't know.
No, that it totally is. I think it's rooted in the idea of paying attention a little bit more and being more sensitive. But I think we confuse sensitivity of the like deeper moments of what really matters and connecting with your kid and being in a relationship with forgetting that we're parents. We're like we are actually running a ship and we're people. And so there's not always space for, and it's not even always appropriate. Like somebody asked me the wonkiest question the other day. Maybe it's not wonky. Maybe it's, I deserve it. But somebody asked me yesterday on a like interview, what repair looks like if your 2-year-old says you poured the milk wrong and they start tantruming. And I'm like, that doesn't warrant repair. What have I done here? Like, that's just the repair just will happen because they'll get over the milk being poured the wrong way and they'll move on with your day.
Like this is not
exactly. And that will be the technical repair, but you won't have had to pay attention to a lick of it. But I think like that is the problem is that somehow as I put repair among the 5 most important things that you'd be thinking about as a parent, it's now getting interpreted as, well, then how do we do it when I pour the milk wrong for my 2-year-old? And so it's like, no, this is no way to live.
No.
This is no way to live.
I just what you just said is that like, what is the key of your relationship or whatever the key to parenting for you and what we all want, which is just this relationship with our kids and the strong and healthy bond that lasts a lifetime, right? You want to die with your children around you, and there's no greater gift on earth than that of like a bonded family and to be, you know, with your children throughout their lives. And I think that you can mess up a lot along the way and still have a really strong relationship with your kids, as long as you're not just like constantly having toxic interactions.
Yeah. And that is the protective thing. I also think it looks different in every family, which is why Scripps, I know that I toggled between Scripps that were examples of something you might say, but in your own voice, because I'm so afraid of Scripps, because I also think your kids will punch you in the nose if you use them more than twice.
Especially as they get older.
Like, I think when they're little, it's quite a bit easier. But as they get older, they're like, what are you doing? But I understand that sometimes people are like, well, give me an example. Just like, what would that look like? But the thing is, and so I can offer some examples, but I also think it's interesting that we all grew up in different kinds of families that sounded so different in their being super close. Like, and some people grew up in families that aren't close, but for the families where the relationship really stuck, what did your family sound like? Chances are, like, another family might, it's so interesting when you get married and you merge families, if you get married, seeing how different families sound and how different families interpret closeness. And so like one family, the visiting family member, the spouse might be like, why is everybody yelling all the time? Like, this feels terrible and toxic and awful. But actually, it's just like a very loud family that uses like curt language, but very loving and very affectionate. And what happens is that within the family, that voice isn't scary. But outside of the family, to the observer, it's like, why are they so, you know, like for another family, that's just not what closeness looks like. And so we have to be so careful in my field to tell parents what connection looks like, because you just know what it looks like and what it feels like.
Yeah, I also like wonder about like the role of just acceptance of people that you love for who they are in that, which goes like for parents and for kids. You know, and as you get older as a child or, you know, an adult child of parents, where you realize that your parents are flawed and have been flawed all along, but you love them so much no matter what, you know, and that the other qualities that go along with being a flawed human are just also that maybe you've loved and dedicated yourself to a person throughout their life and what that means. And, you know, the way that I think one of the things like with my kids, I feel I, with each of them, really want to accept them each for who they are. And that if they feel that at the core, that I accept them for who they are, then the rest of it is hogwash.
That's exactly right. In fact, that moment that I had this week, mm-hmm. with my older daughter, my fear in my, like, when I stormed into my bedroom was that was the first time where I was like, I hope I didn't go so far that she doesn't think I love her for who she is. Like, that was my big fear. And once I realized that that was not the case, that she was like, please,
I know.
Please, I'm so aware of that. But like, that's it. We just need to, that's the holy grail. And then the rest is, you're right.
I hope that's like as simple as it is. And sometimes I think that's like what we kind of should be, just simplifying these things a little bit more.
Of course, it is what it is. It's not that complicated. It's just hard for us because we are people with emotions. Mm-hmm. So it feels harder than it is.
Like, that's so, like, there's such comfort in your consistency.
Yeah. That's nice. But I really just hope it becomes like, oh yeah, I do know the answer to this. It's the same. It's the same. It's been the same for every year my child has been around. It's the same. It's just like how it might be articulated will be different because of their age, or, you know, like what the the conversation is about. But it's so true. If we played like a, which we're not, but if we did play a game where it was like rapid fire questions about every topic in the world, from toddler tantruming to teenagers and, you know, like curfews or bullying, or I'm just trying to think of like every answer, it's the same. It would just be the same. We could just play a game.
It's just the same thing, said it maybe a little bit different. I interviewed this woman who, I shouldn't say this woman, she's a very dear family friend, and she lost her husband in 9/11 and had 4 kids. And I just like was, you know, having her go through her story, because her kids are all just like these awesome humans. Like she's ruthless. They're, you know, pretty all adults now, and they're just great. And I'm like, you know, what's the secret? What's the secret to your sauce that you've just been doing on your own for all of these years after such tragedy and everything? And basically it was like, you can't fix them and you can't fix anything for them. You just have to love them. And it was like, that's really freeing.
Yeah, it is really freeing. It's like, that's what we need, is just that relief.
Yeah. And then plus you have to be like a hard ass sometimes too. Love and then also.
Yeah. Yes. Love plus there limits. Love and limits.
So many catchy catchphrases. Let's write them on a piece of driftwood and in cursive scripty writing and deliver them to Home Goods later.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.